جوانه میزنم به روی زخم برتنم فقط به حکم بودنم که من زنم زنم زنم. And this is one of these songs that has been with the feminist movement in Iran for a while. We do use it a lot, just, I mean, obviously because of the meanings of the word and how it literally shows all the struggles.
This is a podcast called Walk, Talk, Listen. An attempt to connect people and make this world a bit better by sharing opinions and experiences based on the belief that everyone's perspective is true, albeit partial. My name is Maurice Bloom, and I would like to welcome you to yet another episode of Walk, Talk, Listen. Good day, everybody. This is another episode of the podcast Walk, Talk, Listen. This is day two where we are live from New York during the Commission on the Status of Women, 68. And I'm delighted with today's guest who is, I think we're working on episode 5. It could be 6. But, Ruja, can you please introduce yourself?
Of course. Hello, everyone. My name is Ruja. I am originally Iranian. I have grown up in America. I work within the social services sphere, specifically with resettlement currently, but I have been involved in the space of immigrant work and activism from the time I was probably 14 years old. I am also a secretary of an organization called IC Win. Mm-hmm. We are an independent 501(c)(3) as well, as being the Iranian Circle of Women Intercultural Network. And that is the organization I am here at Commission of the Status of Women through. I am a delegate through them.
Okay. And Ruja, is this the first time you're attending CSW?
It is actually not my first time. Mm-hmm. So this is my 5th year, but the 3rd time here because of COVID.
Yeah.
We were kind of shut down in the middle.
Okay. We are aware of the focus this year. But what I wanted to ask you is, what do you hope to achieve during this week? Are you going 1 week or both weeks?
No, I am unfortunately employed. Uh-huh. So just one
week,
I have to go back to work.
I get it.
I do really like to follow. Now after COVID, mm-hmm. a lot of the sessions are hybrid, or we have a lot of the online sessions too, which is great. Mm-hmm. I'm here this week. I really try to focus on any of the topics that are specific to gender identity, mm-hmm. Gender issues, if there are topics on immigrant issues, which haven't been so many this year, mm-hmm. And also specifically to the Swana region, Southwest Asian, North African region, what other people called MENA, mm-hmm. Middle East, North Africa. Yeah.
And actually, the point that you're making is that there hasn't been a lot of attention to, you know, migrant issues and related. It's actually, unfortunately, almost true every year. What is the challenge, of course, in the work that we're doing? I mean, your organization and mine as well, is that, you know, people on the move are often forgotten because they are not part of very often not part of national plans. So that means that, you know, where are they within the whole discussion around sustainable development, right? So,
yeah, I'm just coming up from one of the caucuses that was happening mm-hmm. downstairs, and they mentioned intersectionality, and they actually asked if there was anybody who knew the definition of intersectionality. Yeah. And that's one of the things that is very focal to what we do when mm-hmm. we do migrant work, because that is that extra level of oppression that exists throughout all these topics, but is not necessarily looked at on a separate for its own, right? Mm-hmm. interestingly enough, the first year I attended, which was about 5 years ago, there were a few migrant sessions specifically that I was able to be present at. I think it has to do with the theme of the year. And I mean, I understand it's not possible to cover everything every year. So, but it would be good to have maybe more of a mix. I feel like there is a lot of the same topics and the same issues, which is great because you're looking at it through different lenses, obviously, through different organizations, different countries. But a lot of the same issues every year. So, I guess my recommendation would be to come every year.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think it would be good. And that's what, well, I mean, my listeners know I work for both Church World Service and then interim for JLI, Joint Learning Initiative on Faith and Local Communities as well. But for especially for Church World Service, very important. We work on, you know, one of the resettlement agencies. This is important work. And the number of displaced is only growing. And as a result of, you know, how we treated our planet, it will not get any better soon, unfortunately. I would like still to piggyback on this year's theme of CSW, and that is emphasizing accelerating gender equality by addressing poverty and enhancing financing with a gender perspective. So, you know, keeping that theme in mind, can you share maybe one key action or investment you believe is critical for making significant progress in this area of focus?
Yeah, and if you had asked me this last week, I might have had a different answer. Yeah. We have a panel coming up this week. It's on the feminization of face of poverty in Iran. That's the name of our panel. Yeah. I will be the moderator there.
And where will it be? Because there will be some people listening that could go to your session.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes. It is here at the Armenian church.
Yes.
On the 14th at 12:30.
Okay. Just for, yeah, so that's, you know, we are recording this on the 12th. So on the 14th, that's on Thursday, people can go there. Yeah, sorry, I was interrupting you.
No, it's okay. So I guess when I started coming, that would have been, you know, that would have been my answer because that's our panel.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to talk about. But I have, interestingly enough, been attending some of the sessions on the issue of poverty, as well as other topics I've been attending. And what I've noticed in a couple of them that's a very interesting issue is how they look at care work. And this obviously would also be something that is very important when it comes to the migrant issue as well, because we do have a lot of traditionally women identifying individuals are usually involved in care work, whether it is you know, taking care of the family or if it's being, you know, nurses or caregivers and so on and so forth. This is the job that is also one of the employment opportunities that are usually more accessible to the immigrant population, regardless of their status. So I think that's one of the takeaways I've had this past 2 days. Only been 2 days, but I think this is something that I'm going to be looking more into. It was very interesting, the topics that they were covering on this issue.
Yeah. No, and that's actually great to hear. I think, you know, you were part of this morning's panel, right? Yes. That I was on, and I think there, at least one of my takeaways there is, you know, if we need to continue to listen to each other and be open, and then there's always something to learn. And I think now it's maybe more important than ever that we don't quickly push somebody, you know, in a corner because, you know, you said the wrong word, but really try to engage in dialogue. And because we need everyone at the end of the day, even people that are not necessarily saying the right things, because we have so many challenges in front of us. I have a question about what really drives you in terms of gender equality. Why is that important for you?
Well, I mean, cliche answer of, you know, I just kind of, no, but in realistic, I mean, really in actuality, it's very interesting because I find myself in these spaces a lot of times. I come from Iran.
Yeah.
So
how old were you when you came into to the States?
Preteen. Okay. I was preteen. Yeah. So I was born there and then I kind of grew up here. Mm-hmm. But Iran is not really recognized or known for having any kind of gender equality or anything at that level. I mean, that's, you know, that would be, yeah, we're not, they don't do so great in that arena. And I am a daughter of a single mother, mm-hmm. Who got divorced, which is not a right women have in Iran, mm-hmm. to actually ask for divorce. She actually got the custody of us, which is also another right, mm-hmm. that women in Iran traditionally have not had since the revolution, at least. So having that kind of a background and a mother who was always employed, my mom is a CPA, so mm-hmm. she's very, very professional individual. So being in that kind of an environment, I think just sort of made me ready,
yeah.
to be in these spaces or see all the inequalities that, you know, exist around me. But when I was 14, to be exact, I had, I was in school and there were these girls coming to America from Afghanistan. Hmm. They were coming on marriage visas, so fiancé visas to be exact. And they would come to our school for, you know, a few months. Mm-hmm. And I was Farsi speaker, so I would be their, you know, friend translator. Yeah. I would just get assigned to them, mm-hmm. through school. And then they would leave after a few months. And I learned that they were getting married. And then as married girls, you can't come to regular high school. So that was why they, mm-hmm. were no longer my classmates anymore. Obviously, that sounds very, doesn't sound so great, right? But I learned that the reason they were doing this is because these women were trying, the families were trying to bring their girls out of Afghanistan, so they didn't have to deal with a lot of the regulations and the laws that were imposed on women. So this was a way for them to kind of escape the oppression that was happening. So I think that realization is the thing that sort of was the last push to be involved in this type of work, because I realized that not only these oppressions that are happening and all these levels that people are experiencing them as, but also the different ways that people have to that they have access to actually be able to escape them and some of these regulations and how they actually impact and affect people's lives. So I think that was the final push for me to, you know, I just had to be in this space.
Get it. Yeah. It's interesting. Wow. We have, you know, I would like to cover a lot of topics, right? So you know, I'm sorry if it seems like, oh, he goes left and right, but I would really like the audience to get to know you in a short period of time. You know, the involvement of the younger generation is really important to me, and it's great to see actually that not only have you have come across, but they are these, you know, big groups and of, you know, high school students and that are like sponges, you know, taking it up and getting really inspired by everything they hear. So that's absolutely great. How do you see yourself, the role of youth in this, you know, in gender equality in your community, actually? So you're from California, right? So yeah, what do you see among youth?
I mean, that is a hard question to, mm-hmm. answer, right? Because I haven't really done any kind of a, you know, comprehensive study or anything, mm-hmm. like that to have any kind of a concrete answer. I want to say that globally, mm-hmm. Just because of everything that's kind of happened the past 2 years in Iran, a lot of younger women, younger generation, have been involved, coming out, asking for their rights. I think access to information and technology, you know, there's good things and bad things there, mm-hmm. obviously. But that is also another thing that has made it the information so much more accessible. Mm-hmm. So people are actually able to connect, organize, read about, get information about all these things that are happening all across the world. So I think globally, I see a shift for the better.
Mm-hmm.
California, I'm not sure. California is, you know, a very diverse kind of an area. Mm-hmm. And within the Iranian diaspora, I don't know if I personally necessarily agree with the way a lot of movements are happening. But I guess there's a way, I guess we can look at it as any action is better than, you know, not having, you know, not being involved and not caring. Again, it's I feel like it's a two-sided, you know, kind of a problem that mm-hmm. it could be a good thing, but at the same time, it could kind of be a bad thing. But globally, I do see a lot of involvement, and in, even here at the commission at CSW, I have noticed a lot younger people mm-hmm. that are actually attending the sessions, which is beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I would like to connect you with some younger people. Because, you know, one of the things that I hope this podcast will contribute to is connecting people. And therefore, my question is a question from the previous guest for you, and I will ask you to come up with a question for the next guest. So here you have three young women who I just interviewed as well, like I did with you, and they have the following question for you.
What is one small daily action you believe everyone could take to build in a more gender equal society?
Okay. What is one small action that people could build in their lives and work?
Very good question. And I think it could be anything as small as spending maybe 5 minutes on researching a topic that is related to gender equality. I actually think this is even an ask. I sometimes think that we always say for people to just take one step forward from wherever you're standing, just one step forward, and we're going to get to wherever it is we're going to go to eventually. So I think a lot of the access that currently we have to technology and information, I mean, I talk about like there's good and there's bad, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it gives a lot of information, and deciphering for what is good and what is bad is or what is incorrect, or however you want to word that, obviously. I think if everyone just spends 5 minutes, picks a topic, and mm-hmm. every day just looks up something on that mm-hmm. topic and start from the definition of what it is. What is gender equality? What is gender? What is equality? These probably could take about a week to answer all these questions with everything else that you can find on the internet. But I think that would be what I would think would be useful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a weird person. I Google everything that I don't know. One of these. Yeah.
No, but I like the fact in building in, you know, you need to continue to learn on a daily basis.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I love that. Okay, if you give me a second, so I need to film you now for you to share your question for the next guest.
So, hi. I want to ask you what you think is one actionable item that the UN should have on their agenda for the next CSW. You have a year to think about it.
I hope the person will provide the answer, you know, within the podcast itself, but let's see. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, music is very important to me. So I always have a music question as well. So I would like to ask you to mention a piece of music or a song that inspires you or reflects your journey in the gender equality journey. and then explain also to me why that song or piece of music resonates with you.
So this wasn't that hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
There is one song, and it's an Iranian song.
Okay.
And it's an Iranian feminist song.
Mm-hmm.
And every Iranian feminist is going to know what this song is. It's called Surud Barabari, which is the song of equality. And I can read a couple of lines of it in English for you.
Yeah, please.
So the first little section of it is, I sprout on the wound on my body for the sentence that is my life, that I am a woman, a woman, a woman. And let me read it to you in Farsi too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it goes. جوانه می زنم به روی زخم بر تنم فقط به حکم بودنم که من زنم زنم زنم. And this is one of these songs that has been with the feminist movement in Iran for a while. We do use it a lot, just, I mean, obviously because of the meanings of the word and how it literally shows all the struggles. And if we're not short on time, I want to read the last part of it too, if that's okay.
Sure.
So the last part of it goes, another world we build from equality with empathy and sisterhood, a happy and a better world. And it goes like this. جهان دیگری بسازم از برابری به همدلی و خواهری جهان شاد و بهتری. That's how it finishes.
That's cool. Yeah. And is that a song where when you share that song together, people dance as well, or is it only will share the singing only?
So it's singing.
Okay.
Usually you stomp your feet,
mm-hmm.
and at the end you hold your hands and then you raise them.
Okay. Nice. Thank you for sharing that.
So it's like a performance, I guess.
Yeah. I hope, I will not be caught when we are broadcasting this for, copyrights, right? Because they say, oh, your podcast contained songs that you should have. Well, you don't know. Maybe you will be discovered after this.
Maybe I will. I don't think I have that good of a voice, but sure.
That's great. During my regular podcast, I talk for an hour with people, but I wanted to keep it shorter during this CSW. Therefore, I came up with some rapid-fire questions. So, there are some yes and no, so short answers, please. And then at the end, you are allowed to get back to one of those questions if you want to elaborate on it. Okay, first one. In one word, what do you think is the biggest barrier to gender equality globally?
Allyship.
Okay. Yes or no question. Can technology significantly accelerate gender equality?
Yes.
Okay. That's a small yes. Who is one person that has significantly influenced your approach to gender equality?
Hands down, my mom.
What's one book you recommend everyone reads to understand gender equality better?
Don't Think of an Elephant, but I'm going to explain because it's not about gender equality.
Okay. So that will be the question probably we get back to later. In three words, how do you envision the future of gender equality?
I hope bright, empowering, and inclusive.
Okay. If you could change one thing about the world today to advance gender equality, what would it be?
Take out all the politicians? No.
What message would you send to your future self 5 years from now regarding your work in gender equality?
I'm glad you hang in there.
Okay. So you would like to come back to the book recommendation, I assume?
I wanted to kind of talk about... maybe I should clarify the whole politician thing.
Okay, we can cheat. You can go come back to two then.
Okay, I'm going to say it quickly.
Yeah.
So Don't Think of an Elephant is not about gender equality. And the reason I like it is because, or I recommended it is because, and it's actually like political, it's about politics, mm-hmm. About American politics. But I like it because it talks about framing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such an important issue, regardless of what topic it is that you're talking about. I actually think in the nonprofit sphere as well, framing is a very important issue, and it's something that we don't really look at as closely. And the politician, I don't have anything against, my grandfather was a politician. I don't have anything against politicians. I just feel like every space, every profession has its own, I guess, goals, mm-hmm. would be a good word that I would use. And I don't think the goals for a politician isn't necessarily to create a better world. I feel like the job of a politician is to get elected and pass some laws, and whomever can help in that, you know. So I'm not saying to not have any politicians necessarily. I don't have any opinion on that. But just the way the system is set up, I feel like it's more of a barrier for gender equality. Mm. Because a lot of the topics that we need to look at when it comes to gender equality are things that are not very, and I'm going to use the word sexy. So they're not topics that get you votes. They're not topics that get you elected. So if I was a politician, I wouldn't care about gender equality, because why would I? My goal is something else, right? So that's kind of, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I understand, you know, what you're trying to get at. Yeah. You know, these conversations really go always fast. So before I'm going to thank you for today and your willingness to talk with me, is there a question that I didn't ask and that I should have asked within these last 15, 20 minutes?
No, I think the questions are very good. And thank you for letting me explain. Hopefully nobody gives us any hate.
I don't think so. So thank you so much for, again, your willingness to talk with me today, for everything you do, for sharing your wisdom. And I mean, all the best for the days that you will be in person, but also I think for people at home, they should know they can follow it on Zoom as well, so right, you don't have to be here to participate. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Walk Talk Listen. Please check us out on 100mile.org or follow us on Facebook or Instagram.